Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Nun Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you'll find on the lower part of Daf Nun Dalid, five lines from the bottom. On the side of our Gemara, you'll notice we have a topic heading, in which we've written Rishima is a list, Rishima Shel Dvorim, a list of situations of items, Shelam Rois Demitamen Tumas Meis, even though there is defilement to the dead, Ein HaNozir Megaleach Aleim. It does not result in the Nozir losing the days that he has counted till that point. The Einon Soyser Mayomim Shekvar Mona. The defilement in these cases do not undo, erase the days that he has counted till this point. The Mishnah. Avol haschochos. The term avol is a word of contrast. This is in contrast to the previous Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes, where we saw a list of things where the nozir, when he encounters the defilement, he actually loses whatever he has counted towards his nazirus up till that point. So in contrast, you have haschochos va'prois. Schochos, Rashi describes as tree branches that are overshadowing the ground, and under one of the branches there might be a grave, and the nozir walked and by under this tree, and he doesn't know if he walked under the particular branch that's overshadowing the grave. And pros are a similar situation. We have stones protruding from a wall. You can walk under these protruding stones, and there is a grave under one of the stones, and you walked under one of the stones, and you don't know if you walked under the stone that was overshadowing a grave. And of course, in each one of these cases, we're referring to a nozir having walked over there. Obeis hapras, a nozir walked through a field in which there had been a grave. The location of the grave was not known, but it was known there was a grave there, and this field had been plowed up. In other words, the body that was there would have been now fragmented because of the plow blade that distributed it, pieces of the body all over the field. Ve'eretz ha'amim, a nozir who would enter Eretz ha'amim, that's leaving the land of Israel. There's an additional scenario featured in Maseches Chagiga, I believe, having to a strip of land running through the across the northern part of Israel, that's called Eretz HaKusim. But for all intents and purposes, Eretz Ham is a reference to outside the land of Israel. So there's a tuma that's imposed on Eretz Ha'amim. It's a form of tumas meis, death defilement. But if a nozir goes there, he will not lose the nazirus that he's counted till that point. V'ha-gulel v'ha-doifek, these are parts of a coffin. The golel and dofek, truth is that there's a machlokus about what it is, but we're using one of the pirushim, one of the commentaries. Rashi's explanation that Tosfos quotes from Maseches Ksubis is a golel, the cover of a coffin, dofek, the sides of a coffin. So these will communicate tuma as well. V'revias dam v'oel. Revias dam v'oel is a reference to the liquid quantity known as a quarter of a lug of blood that comes from a corpse. Even though it's mitame b'oel, even though if a person goes into the same room, the same overshadowing himself and this Revius of Dam, he will become defiled to the tune of Tumas Meis, with all that that implies. A Nozir doesn't lose out as a result. And Rova Atzomos as well, the Rova Kav, a quarter of a Kav, it's also a measure of bones. True, it imparts Tumas Meis through Ohel, through being under the same overshadowing, the same overhang. Nevertheless, these cases of Revius Dam and Rov Atzamos, we will see the Nozir does not lose out, even though he becomes defiled, Tumas Meis. The Kalim HaNoigim B'Meis, vessels that are in contact with a corpse, if one touches those vessels, so he may become Tome, but it's not going to result in the Nozir losing out. Uvime Sifro, Uvime Gomro, these are two time periods that are associated with someone who was a Mitzora. Someone who was a Mitzora and was determined to be a Mitzora Muchlot, he's set outside of the community. If it's dealing with a walled community, he's set outside of town. In the Midbar, he would be set outside of the Machne Yisrael, away from the community, and until the discoloration decreases, goes away, he is in a state of gomro. Those are we're not getting into the details right now of tzoras, but suffice it to say, for those who are familiar, you know what a mitzora muchlot is, this is the period of time that he is muchlot. And the Yemei Sifro is a reference to the days after the muchlot, meaning when the Kohen comes and inspects the Mitzorah and determines that the Tzoras has shrunk or disappeared, so then he still has to observe another week of purification. The starting of that week, he takes a haircut, and at the conclusion of that week, he also cuts his body hairs. That's called Yemei Sifro, the week following the Yemei Gomro. So it's true that he's in a state of tumah, he's in a state of defilement, but al elu ein hanozir megaleach. The nozir does not lose the previous days. We've seen the term megaleach already quite often in the last few shiurim, so we're simply going to, without translating, just make reference to the fact that it means that the nozir ein hanozir megaleach does not lose out the days that he's counted up till this point. Umaze bishlishi ubishvi, he goes through the Tumas Meis purification, which involves the third day and the seventh day of his purification week, receiving sprinkling of Pora Aduma ash water mixture. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. The Mishnah continues, V'eino Soser Es HaKoidmin. The Tumah that we've described here does not undo the previous days that he's counted of his Nazirus till that point. Umaschil umoyne miyad, and upon purification, upon reaching the seventh day of the purification week that's necessary to leave Tumas Meis, he then restarts, he picks up his counting, we'll say, from that point on. The Korban ein lo, there's no bringing of sacrifices in these cases, in contrast to that which we saw back on Daf Mem Tes in the Mishnah, which are situations of Tumah that necessitate the Nozir at the end of his Tumah period to bring sacrifices. Not so over here. B'emes Amru, Yemei Hazav V'Hazova V'Yemei Hezgeru Shel Mitzora Harei Elu Oilin Loi. The Mishnah just made reference to other forms of Tumah. Let us say a person had accepted Nazirus and he became a Zav. It's a type of male emission that results in the man becoming Tome. A Zava applies to a woman, a type of blood release with regard to women, and they become Tomeos during that time period. Yemei Hezgero, Shamatzor, those are the week or two that lead up to a confirmed case of tzaras, so we'll call it a waiting period or an investigation period. That's called Yemei Hesgero, when he's in his house, he's not put out of the community because he hasn't been established as a Mitzora Muchlat yet. Those are the Yemei Hesgero. during these time periods, even though the Nazir is very Tomei, nevertheless, these days count toward his Nazirus. He'll continue abstaining from wine and continue avoiding defilement to the dead, even though he's defiled for other reasons. Zav, Zava, Yemei Hasgeru, Ova Metzora, Hare Eilu Oilumo. They actually count. He gets Nazirus credit during those time periods. The Gemara, the Eluhain Haschochos. What does schochos mean? Maybe you're familiar with the word schach. You're familiar with that, of course, from the case of a sukkah. The word sukkah itself comes from schach, which is called thusly because of the branches that cover you overhead. Ilan hamesach al horetz. This is a reference to what we explained earlier, a tree whose branches are overshadowing the ground, and under one of the branches there is Tumas Mace, and the Nazir walks under the tree, not knowing whether he walked under the branch that actually overshadows the source of Tumah. Pros, what is that? Also mentioned in the Mishnah, those are Avonim HaYotzes Min HaGeder, stones that protrude forth from a wall, as we explained earlier. The Mishnah mentioned Ve'eretz Ho'amim. This was the fourth point mentioned in the Mishnah. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, which reads as follows. Tumas Eretz Haman. We're dealing with the Tumah. I dare say it's a rabbinic form of Tumah that was imposed on the area outside of Israel. The rabbis imposed this Tumah so as to discourage people from leaving Eretz Yisrael. Kishigosru Tumo al Eretz Ha'amim, our note continues, when the rabbis impose this form of defilement, Haim Gozu Rak al Gusha, is it a defilement based on the Gush means dirt, the ground, Oi Gozu Nami al Avira, or does their Gezerah extend to the airspace? Sounds a little bit, we'll say, abstract. What's the difference? Nafkamina, there is a difference. Hecho de nifnas le'eretz ha'amim b'shida. If a person left Israel while contained in a shida, in a box, in a chest. De mishum gusha leka, if he is contained in this large enclosed structure. I don't want to use the word vessel, because the word vessel in Hebrew it means a kli, and then that gets us into a more complicated area of halacha concerning a vessel and its sizes. But certainly if you're dealing with a vessel that measures 40 sa'a, 40 sa'a is the size of a mikveh that everyone is probably familiar with, measuring 3 cubic amos. If a person is in a chest or in a box like that and enters the Eretz Ha'amim, the Mishum Gusha Leka, there would be no problem of Tumah affecting you if the Gezerah was made on the dirt. By being in this box, so you are protected, so to speak, from the dirt. Mishum Avira Ika, however, if the Gezerah was imposed on the airspace, so you are in the airspace of Eretz Ha'amim. This is an approach, an introduction to the sukya that will continue on Nun Hei Omen Aleph, but for the time being we want you just to hear these terms and these ideas. The Gemara will debate this and carry on much further than our introduction. Ba Gemara Yesh Nisayon Lahochiach, in the Gemara there's an attempt to prove the Agusha, that the Gzera was in fact a Gzera, a rabbinic defilement imposed on the dirt. Me'achar Shikotoni, because in the Mishnah, which mentions different forms of Tumas Mace, of death defilement, the Mishnah mentions Umaze Gimel Vizayin, that there is a sprinkling of the Paraduma purification water, the red heifer ash water mixture that is characteristic, that's used as a method of purifying from your standard tumas mace. This idea of a sprinkling is relevant only if you say that the gzera was imposed on the dirt. And the idea of the dirt or the ground is based on the idea that there may very well be bodies buried anywhere when you're in Chutz La'aretz. This idea of Hazah on the third and seventh days would be inapplicable to the Gezerah of Eretz Hamim if it were posed on airspace. Let us now turn to the Gemara. The quote from the Mishnah of Eretz Hamim, Ibaya Laho, the Gemara asks, Eretz Hamim, this defilement imposed on land outside of Israel. Mishum Aviro Gozrolel, Oy Dilmo Mishum Gusha Gozrolel. Is it a ruling, a rabbinic imposition on the airspace or on the ground, the dirt? Toshma. So in order to conclude this, the Gemara attempts to answer. In the Mishnah, along with citing Eretz Ha'amim, it said, Umaze b'shlishi u'bishvi. The Poraduma water is used in the during the third and seventh days of the purification week. Granted that a person had been in Eretz Ha'amim, he becomes defiled, so he has to expose, he has to be subjected to Hazah on the third and seventh days. The E Amris Mishum Avira, if you were to think that the rabbinic tumah imposed on Eretz Ha'amim was imposed on the airspace, Hazah Lomali, why would there be any sprinkling? Elolav Mishum Gusha, the fact that there is a sprinkling, it shows that the tumah that was imposed on the dirt. Let's get a little bit more of an explanation by looking at the Tosfos. You'll notice Tosfos Toshma on the end of the medium lines. Toshma umaze b'shlishi u'b'shvi v'yamrus mishum avira hazor lomali d'eino svora shitztach b'chiyai gavna. It's not logical to think that under circumstances like that hazoas gimel v'zayin. Hayol umetame afki hefsek beino uveina gush. If you hold that the tumah is on the airspace, that means that you will be tameh even if there is something blocking you from the ground, from the dirt. The eino klal meinyan tumas oyol hames. The tumah, if you say it's mishum avira, and as we just said, even if you're blocked from the ground, you still will become tomei. It shows us that this is nothing to do with the rules of oil emes, overshadowing the dead. When we speak about overshadowing the dead, if there is some type of interposition between you and the body, or you and the grave, you would not become tomei. When you explain tumas eretz ha'amim in terms of avir, we're saying you'll become tomei anyway. So you see that you're dealing with something that is, that's not a, we'll say, a subcategory of fitting within the topic of Oyhel Hames, overshadowing the dead. In standard overshadowing of the dead, that's Lahatzur Chazor Gimel V'Zayin. Then, if you overshadow the dead in a standard situation, you are subject to receiving the sprinklings. Now, since our Mishnah says that for Eretz Ha'amim there is Hazoah Zayin Vishmi, the Gimel V'Zayin, third and seventh days, it must be that you're dealing with a tumah imposed on the dirt, not the airspace. And we turn back to the Gemara. You notice we have a long marking, a Dalet Dechiyah, long rejection, four lines. We reject this. Li'oilum e'maloch mishum avira. I'll tell you that the tumah imposed on Eretz Amim is in fact an airspace tuma. V'chikotoni, the teaching of Mazeh, Gimel, V'zayin, Ashara, it's going on the other points mentioned in the Mishnah. It's not referring to the case of Eretz Amim. Just because the Mishnah said Mazeh, Bishlishu, Bishvi, it doesn't mean that that halacha applies to everything in the Mishnah. Hachi nami mistabrin, and in fact, this approach is quite likely. So just let's go over the point again. To prove that Eretz Amim is mishum gush because of the din, the halacha of mazeh shlishu shvi, that's not absolute. It's true the Mishnah teaches shlishu shvi, but it's not a reference to Eretz Amim. It's a reference to Ashara, the other sha'ar, the other points mentioned in the Mishnah. And this in fact can be proven. It's logical, midekotoni. It says in the Mishnah as well, v'keinim hanoigim b'meis. Vessels that are in contact with a body. Hani keinim b'nei hazo inun. These vessels that came into contact with a body. If a person touches those vessels, do those vessels cause a person to subject himself or to be subjected to the hazor? It's not true. A person who touches vessels that touched a corpse, it's true he becomes tumei. He's tumei tumas erev, he's the one day tumah. He does not need hazor, gimel, v'zayin, and yet Kalim HaNoyu B'meis is taught in the Mishnah. Eloshma Mino Ashara. This shows us that the presence of Mazeh B'Shlishishu applies to most of the items in the Mishnah, but not to everything. It doesn't apply to someone who touched Kalim HaNoyu B'meis, and it doesn't apply to Eretz Amim. So I could tell you that Eretz Amim, in fact, is a Tumah imposed on the Avir. And Mazeh Shlishi Shvi is not related to that. We continue at the top of Nun Hei Omen Aleph. Lema Ketanoi. Can we say that the issue of the basis of Tumas Eretz Amim, is it Avir or is it Gush, in fact is a Machlokes Tanoim? So the Gemara presents this as a possibility. Notice, by taking your bird's eye view of this Omid Gemara, this topic goes down till the sixth line from the bottom. You'll notice triangles, and on the side of the Gemara there are Nosei Mivne heading. These are four Arba Dalid Gishos, four approaches, Shlavim, stages. L'hasbira machlokes bein Rebbe l'Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to see a Tanaic source where these two Tanoim appear. Someone who enters the Eretz Ho'amim region, meaning out, they've left Eretz Yisrael while contained within a Shida Tevo Migdal, a box or a chest. We will see that Rebbe holds that if you entered Eretz Ho'amim, though you're contained in this, we'll call this protective environment, the box or the chest, you nevertheless will become Tomei. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, you do not become Tomei, you're protected. And based on that, we want to say that the issue is a machlokes of Eretz, concerning Eretz Amim, is it Mishum Avir or Mishum Gush? The ideas that will be presented in this Gemara are, of course, number one, Mishum Gush Avira. And a second topic that's going to come up has to do with something called Ohel Zorok. An Ohel is a large enough structure, like a chest, a closet, a portable closet, whereby it is large enough to be considered an Ohel, a self-contained structure. And such an entity, a standard ohel, would protect, would be an interposition, a block between you and Tuma. In other words, if you were in a real Ohel, Ohel Zorok means a throne Ohel, an Ohel in movement. But if you were in a stationary Ohel and there was Tuma outside of the Ohel, you would be protected because you're contained within the Ohel. We turn to the Gemara, top line, Lemo Kitanoi. Can we say that the two choices as to explaining why there's Tumas Eretz Hamim, is it Mishum Gush or Mishum Avir, is in fact a Machlokas Tanoim? And it reads, the source says, HaNichnas Eretz Hamim B'Shita Tevo Migdal, one who enters the region known as Eretz Hamim, contained within, the person is contained within one of these structures, a Shida Tevo Migdal, we mentioned already a large box or a chest, Rebbe Mitamei Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda Mitaher. Rebbe says he is not protected by the Shida Tevo Migdal, and Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda says he is protected. My love, Rebbe Sova Rebbe, who says he is Tomei, Mishum Avira, the Tumo that's imposed is imposed on the airspace. Hence, the standard idea of being contained with an interposition has no relevance. That has relevance only when you're dealing with the ground, with the possibility of a body being buried in the ground, and hence they made a gzera on the ground. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, Mishum Gusha, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says you are protected because the original gzera was only on the dirt, the ground of Eretz O'amim. Well, if that were the end of the sugya, so we would say Gush versus Avir is a machlokes tanoim. The sugya does not end here, as you can see. But before we go further, we glance at the Rashi at the top. My love, the Rebbe Sovar Mishum Aviro Gozru Aleo, Rebbe who was Metame, the person that was contained within the Shida Teva Migdal, holds the Tumo is on the airspace. V'ilu hocha, kevon de nichnas avir milamalo kishen psuchim. Imagine this, let's see, this box or this chest were open from above. He's blocked from below, but above it were open. That's, we'll read again, kevon de nichnas avir milamalo kishen psuchim, o derech psuchim, when these are open from on top or from doors on the side of these boxes or chests, have a tomei, he will become tomei. Sharei nichnas le'avir eretz amim, because he's entered the region called eretz amim. It doesn't mean that the box is necessarily open. Even if it's not open, Rebbe would say you become tomei, because if it were open, the tumah would enter, indicating to us that the tumah was imposed on the airspace. And Rashi continues, Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda Sovar Mishum Gusha Velo Mishum Avira. The tumah was imposed strictly on the ground, not the air. The kevan de karkoi shida tevo migdal mafsik beino levein ha-gusha ha-veitor. Since the floor of the box remains an interposition, a blockage between you and the dirt, so you remain tor, because as Rabbi Yossi Buda says, the tumah was imposed on the ground. We continue in the Gemara. Loi, we reject that analysis of the machlokes, the kulei almo mishum gusha. Take note, and we like to do this from time to time with Gemara markings, you can easily navigate. Just skip to the next triangle and you see Elo de Kule Almo Mishum Avira. So you can see how the Gemara takes extreme different approaches. The initial approach was to suggest that Avir Gush was a Machlokas Tanoim. This approach and the next approach say, no, that's not their machlokas at all. Rather, and here we're at our second approach, is Dekulei Mishum Gusha. Everyone agrees that the tumah was imposed on the gush, on the floor, on the ground, on the dirt. Well then, who needs explanation? The shita that says that your tumah would need explanation. Mor sovar oil zoruk shmei oil. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who says you're tar, is of the opinion that an ohel zoruk means an ohel that's in movement. It's not stationary. You're traveling in this box into the Eretz Amim. So you're in movement. That's zoruk. Zoruk literally means thrown, cast, or movement. An ohel, a contained structure that's in movement, has the properties of an ohel, meaning it blocks. It serves as an interposition. Umar Sovar, Rebbe, who says your Tomei, says Lo Shmei Ohel, that once it's in movement, it doesn't work anymore to block you, so that the Tuma that's coming from below simply penetrates the floor of the box in which you are located. Doesn't work as an Ohel, as a Chatzitza, as an interposition. So at this point, when you look at Shitas Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, we're saying that he holds an oil zoruk shmei oil, that a movement, an oil in movement, works to block tuma. And we're now going to question that. V'ha'tanya, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, teva shehi malea kelim, a teva. It's one of the words we mentioned above, the shido teva migdal, the box. Shimleo Kalim, that's filled with articles, vessels filled with clothing, Vizarka al Pnei Hames Be'oihel. And he cast this box filled with vessels over a body that was in a room. Tamea. The contents of the box become defiled. The box you can see in movement does not work to block the tuma. Its contents become defiled. If you had a chest that was stationary in the same room in which there was a corpse, then the contents, Torah, remain undefiled. They're protected because it's an ohel kavua. Rashi across from here says, "Vim hoisa munachas Torah, dekevan de munachas havilo kavua matzelos b'fnei atuma v'lo havi koil zoruk." If it's stationary, so it's not an ohel in movement. So to say that Rabbi Yosi Rebuto holds that an oil zoruk is considered an ohel, functions as an ohel, functions to block tuma, it's not true. So we go back to the drawing board. Elo de kule almo mishum avira. Both Rebbe and Rebbe Yisrael will say that Tumas Eretz Ha'amim is a gzera imposed on the airspace. Umor Sovar, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, that says you remain tohar when you entered Beshiva Teva Migdal, Kevan Delo Shchicha Lo Gozru Be Rabbanan. Even though he tells you that a moving oil doesn't work to block Tuma, since you're dealing with something that's lo shicha, unusual, it's unusual to enter Eretz Amim in a box or in a chest. So it's an unusual situation, and you're dealing here with a topic that's purely rabbinic. When do the rabbis impose their restrictions or stringencies? When you're dealing with cases that are commonplace. This is lo shicha, it's unusual. And therefore, they didn't impose any tuma. Umor Sova Rebbe says, Afagav de lo shricho gozru be rabbonan. This is a very unusual situation. It's an unusual position. Generally speaking, we say that milsa de lo shricho lo gozru be rabbonan. Rebbe says that even though it's unusual, they nevertheless imposed tuma all the same. V'hotanyon. Here you have support. Hanichnas le'eretz ha'amim b'shita tevu migdal tohor. One who entered the eretz ha'amim in a shita tevu, in a box or a chest, he's tohor. And this, of course, would be a source. There's no name in it, but it would be in accordance with Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. B'koron b'sfino v'skaria. If one enters eretz ha'amim in a chariot, in a boat, iskaria is a type of boat, a sailboat, the person will be tomei. And we can explain that because That is Shechina. That is a normal way of entering Eretz Ho'amim. We continue with another approach, V'iboy Esema, and in order to appreciate what we're to assume, notice stage 2 and 3. In stage 2, we said everyone agrees Mishum Gush. In stage 3, we said everyone agrees Mishum Avir. Rashi here, notice on the toward the end of the narrow lines, V'iboy Esema, we have a little star in the Rashi. Another approach says to Kuliamo Mishum Gusha. Nami Oyel Zoruk Shmei Oyel. So we're going to accept Rashi and work with these assumptions that everyone holds that the Gzera was imposed on the dirt and that a moving Oyel functions as an Oyel, functions to block Tumah. So now we have to explain, especially the Shita of Rebbe, why is he Metame? So we continue now in the Gemara text. V'iboy Seima Hocho Shemo Yoitzi Roshoi V'rubo L'sham Pligi. Their argument is an argument over, do we worry about someone who is contained in a protective environment? As Rashi said, Oyel Zoruk, everyone agrees, Shmei Oyel. If that's the case, why then would Rebbe Metame? Because he says we have to consider the possibility of someone literally sticking their head out or the majority of their body outside. Rosh Avruba means one's head with the majority of their body, their torso outside of these contained units. So that even though right now you are totally contained, we might nevertheless impose Tumah because of someone actually sticking their heads out, which then would have them literally overshadowing the gush, and of course encountering real tumah in a rabbinic sense. So, as we go on, the Hotanyan here is a Tanaic source that supports this analysis, which, let's just go over it again. Everyone holds that the tumah was imposed only on the dirt, and everyone holds an oil zoruk shmei oil. Nevertheless, Rebbe will say you're tomei because Rebbe makes a gzera. You might stick your head, rosh over your head, and the majority of your body outside of the protective environment, and therefore, even if you don't stick your head out, we impose tumah, which is a standard type of chumrah or gzera that the Rabbonan make. And Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, no, I don't make gzera. If you actually stuck your head out, fine, then you will become tomei. But if you don't stick your head out, you remain tohar. So the Tanaic source supports this. V'hatanya, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Hanichnos L'Eretz Ha'amid B'Shita Tevu Migdal, tohar. One who enters the Eretz Ha'amid while contained within the box or the chest, you remain tohar ad sheyotzi l'sham rosho o rubo, until you stick your head out or the majority of your body out, literally, in other words, in actual terms. But as long as you don't and you remain in the shita tevel migdal, you remain tohar. We look at Rashi on the second line under the second of the wider lines of Rashi, Vatanya de Messiah, a Tanaic source supporting this, the Rabbi Yossi, Eino Mitama Chiyotzi Rosh of Rubo, until you actually stick your head out. For all the Tony Rabbi Yossi Rebuto Liel, Zorak Tevum Leo Kalim Apneames Temea. Ah, but before, there was no sticking of your head out, and yet Rabbi Yossi Rebuto said that the vessel containing articles over a and you threw it over a body, they become tomei. Then they're dealing with inanimate objects. You're not dealing with someone sticking their head out. Why does Rabbi Yosef say you're tomei? The articles are tomei. Lav mishum de kosover oil zorok lav shmei oil. It's not because he holds that the oil in movement is not an oil. El kima de zorka. Since in that particular case, the box was thrown. It was thrown over the body. You're showing through your action of throwing it that it loses its halachic status of ohel, a structure, and it becomes a mere vessel. And in the seifa of that very source, it said if that box were stationary, the contents would be tor. And note, even though it's something that's ordinarily moved, so from the fact that it's moved, that doesn't cancel its status as being an ohel. But if it's thrown, you're showing that it's not viewed in your mind as a structure, but rather as a vessel. And a vessel does not protect its contents when you're dealing with an oil hames. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.